been talking a lot, just as editors and with some people around the country, about what's going on with missional church, what's going on with emerging church. Those terms are being co-opted and manipulated and redefined all over the place. You've used the word missional. You've written a book on emerging church. What are you perceiving is happening with these, both these movements and the terms associated with them?
Yeah, I think that language and terminology is important, and it does change through time, just like we know all kinds of English words will change their meaning through time, and we always have to keep going back and asking, what is the definition? You know, like the Jesus Seminar folks will say they believe in the resurrection of Jesus, but it's the resurrection of his teachings and the movement, not that he had a bodily resurrection. So I think terminology does become very important today as we talk about these things. And going back to the emerging church, that word was developed. There's the book that was written in 1970, it's called The Emerging Church, and it was simply a term that developed, and I believe my best understanding is that Leadership Network started using it as a tagline, which then when they were gathering Gen X leaders, started using it more and more. And then the book that I wrote in 2003, we called it that simply because that was sort of the term that was becoming known. And that just meant churches that were engaging our emerging culture for the Gospels, hoping that what is emerging in our churches. And it was very much based around evangelism. I mean, that was the primary thing at that time. Then what occurred was it shifted and started being used about more of a theological discussion, and evangelism is theology. And then Emergent Village developed after that. And then the term missional started coming in, because then it was, you didn't want to use Gen X, postmodern, emergent, then a missional. And Andrew Jones traces it back. Tall, skinny, kiwi.com, I think, is his blog. He traced it back to a missiologist, I can't remember, 50 years ago, that first used it. And for me, the word just connected, because it was saying everything, you know, God is a God of mission, it's part of who he is. And when you trace the whole Bible, you'll see that God is a God of mission, and if we're created in his image, then that should be part of who we are, and the whole storyline of the Bible is about mission. And so that means your church, as you lead your church, you are thinking of it in a missional sense. Now, I don't know if I just made sense in what I was saying there, but that is how I would define the word, but it's used so many different ways.
Right. Just today I got an email from a pastor, no names or churches to be mentioned here, but basically every pastor I've encountered, it wants to define their church and their ministry as missional.
Right.
No matter how old or traditional it is, no matter how big or small it is, no matter how seeker-driven or discipleship-focused it is, everyone's missional.
Yep.
And it's sort of like asking, do you believe in outreach? Well, of course, yeah, we all do. But what do you think is not missional? What is the opposite of being missional? How would you, if you were to be an objective observer of a ministry, what would you look at to gauge whether or not this is a missional church?
I would look at how does the leadership of the church evaluate things? How do they spend their time? What's in their language that they don't just use, and when they have the term somewhere? If you were to go and meet and talk to the people of the church and ask them to define church, not just the leadership, what would you start hearing leaking out of them as they're describing what church is about and who they are as a church community? I think I'd want to look at, say they're saying, if you're missional, and I say, okay, what does that, how are you seeing that symptomatically in your church as it expresses itself in the community and the world? And would it be, well, we have an outreach event on this once a month, or where we go down into the homeless shelter every 2 weeks and we're doing something there, which is part of it, but it's like your whole blood and your whole psyche is different than if you just particularly, wear a certain shirt every now and then, that's the missional shirt, rather than who you are as a human being, and it's part of your bloodline.
Some of the guys we've talked to have defined missional in opposition to attractional. that the traditional model is you reach out to non-believers and you draw them into your institution, to your service, to your programs, and they would say that's fine, there's a place for that, but missional means, rather than just reaching out and drawing in, that you go out and kind of have indigenous little things, and it's sort of anti-institutional. And what do you make of that?
Yeah, I personally, and this, I know this may upset people or people will disagree with me, I think that's an incorrect. I think that's false. And the reason I think it's false is because being missional means you should be attractional, and it's not just your own self. You as a follower of Jesus, even if you're an individual who is out in the world, you are then used by Jesus, and the Spirit in you is the attractional part of things. Mm-hmm. And then about who Jesus is, and obviously you're pointing to Him. But at the same point, all of these organic expressions, and as you're out and this whole thing, eventually they become part of a larger community. And it's the same thing where I think that the difference before is that, yes, we were only banking everything on attractional. So if you had the nice worship gathering and the good preaching and the good music, and then they will come, because mm-hmm. that was what would be attractive. I don't think that's not accurate anymore. Now it is, people have to, you're in the culture, in the world, living out the mission of God with people all around. But eventually, you bring them into community, and that's mm-hmm. where I think the attractional part is still very important. You know, I had a guy recently that it's been about 2 years of dialogue and friendship, and then eventually he invited himself to our worship gathering.
Mm-hmm.
When he came to our worship gathering, and I don't say attractional is the word, I'm glad it was attractional, in the sense that we had music that he could understand and relate to. The expression of the community and where we meet was something that he could relate to. So, mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's... I've heard it's a cop-out to say that we don't need to focus on anything with worship gatherings or all that stuff's bad because we just need to be attractional. But then I hear so many stories. Eventually, they need to... What's going to be attractional? And we are attractional. That's what Jesus in us is attractional, I should say.
I'm thinking of my own experience as a pastor in my church. I know for a lot of people, they sort of see that when a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, a non-believer crosses the threshold of the church on Sunday morning, when they finally come into a worship service, that is sort of seen as success. We got them here. You may have had a relationship with them for 2 years and been talking about Christ, and they may have been attracted to your own life and what they see of Christ in you, but until they cross that threshold on Sunday morning, it hasn't been effective. Is part of being missional changing that, where whether or not somebody actually crosses the threshold on Sunday morning, if they're connecting with you, with other believers, with Scripture, with the Spirit of God, even if they don't come in on Sunday morning, can that still be called effective evangelism and missional?
Yeah, absolutely, because that's all happening out there. But then what I want to do is Jesus said, make disciples, so it's not just mm-hmm. get them to come to your church building or go be friends with them outside it's the whole what is a disciple, and eventually a disciple is part of a structured church. And that's in a structured church, what I mean by that is that there's elders, there's regular teaching, there's a sense of shepherding and accountability that people then are in that system, and mm-hmm. I say that in a healthy way. And so I think whether that is in a house church or whether that is in a church of 5,000, eventually something like that has to be. Because I'll hear some, not all, house church or organic church folks, they'll talk, but when you start probing a little bit, their meeting is their meeting. So they may not mm-hmm. have the Sunday meeting with all of their mm-hmm. music and as formal preaching and everything, but they still have some sort of meeting that they have. And then that becomes success if that person eventually becomes part of that organic meeting.
Yeah.
So, I'm saying that in a healthy balance, but whether big church or small church, I'm just very, my concern would be, are people outside of the faith who do not know Jesus eventually putting saving faith in Him and understanding who He is and becoming disciples? However that happens is not the importance, but that it is happening to me.